when both manifest, we find the same types of signatures in the objective environment when, in fact, there is something that we can measure.
All right, now wait. The same type of signature. Now, whether it's an inanimate object or it was an apparently once living thing, you say you find the same kind of signatures. What kind of signatures are you talking about?
Well, I am especially intrigued by electrostatic charges that seem to build up at the time these things occur. And indeed, if I were only looking at the energy fields that I could measure, I, based upon that, could not directly tell you if it was living or non-living. And so it makes me, right off the bat, question the boundary between living things and non-living things. I mean, after all, we are all essentially composed of the same elements. The electrostatic and the electromagnetic signatures are the ones that seem to be most prevalent and most reliable. For example, I can take electrostatic generators like a Wimshurst machine or a Van de Graaff machine and produce hundreds of thousands of volts, which are actually quite safe to experiment with because amperage is, you know, really where the
very low current, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can use these charges, and we do it all the time in a laboratory, create not only three-dimensional light forms, but you can move objects at a distance without any physical connection. You can give a human the sensation of physical touch. You can give that person cold chills, make that person's hair stand on end. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can basically create all of these earmarks that we associate with a ghostly manifestation by utilizing electrostatic charges. And once an electrostatic charge moves, well, then it becomes an electromagnetic wave. And so you could pretty much say that electrostatic and electromagnetic are more or less different sides of the same type of thing. But
all right, it sounds like you've done a little on the technical side of this. So have you done actual investigation where you've gone into the field and measured an electrostatic charge in an area where there was some sort of manifestation going on at the time?
Yeah, time and time again, yes.
Yes. All right, what is it you use, Joshua, to measure this?
Well, you know, there is no such thing as a quote-unquote ghost meter, and so right off the bat, any reliable paranormal investigation team will take in every single tool that that team can find in order to measure every aspect of the environment, because right off the bat, you have to know what the normal conditions are so you can weigh something paranormal or anomalous against it. But the things that I find react most frequently at areas where hauntings are occurring or something ghostly are simple electrostatic field meters. And once you get over 1,000 volts, and of course this is a DC electrostatic charge, in an area where there is no objects around and there is nothing that you can find changing in that environment, well, then you start seeing something interesting happen measuring that alone. Then you start looking at the electromagnetic changes. And, I mean, devices such as there's one I enjoy employing called a tri-field natural EM meter. It will show you when there are changes or shifts happening at a very, very small electrical scale. Or on a small electrical scale at a very tiny level. And those are the things that I enjoy employing most, and yet at the same time, there are tools that the average person can retrieve from his or her house and use for a very broad general investigation that will also yield some results to tell you if maybe it's worthy of further research.
For example?
Well, one of my favorite devices to actually measure electrostatic anomalies is a simple fluorescent bulb. You see, if you take a fluorescent bulb and you bring it into an area where there is a buildup of electrostatic charge, mm-hmm. by simply holding this thing in your hand, it will start to glow and flicker.
Oh, that's absolutely correct, yes.
Yeah, now the ends should not be attached to anything at all, because all that matters is having a flow of charge going through the gas inside the bulb.
That's right.
You know, it takes a little bit more charge for this to happen than, of course, you could measure if you had one of these devices specifically geared for that purpose. But You know, that's the best thing the average person can use. Aside from that, if you want to measure electromagnetic or magnetic anomalies, well, you know, a compass, of course, is always supposed to point north. If it doesn't point north or it starts spinning or doing something weird, well, there's probably a magnetic anomaly there. And you can also just turn on an AM radio to a blank frequency, and if there's some sort of electromagnetic interference, well, you're going to hear that on the band as well. And so I really do my best to try to look at different types of basic tools that are affordable and available to the average person that you can use to investigate these things, so that if you have enough there that makes you feel that it's worthy of further research, well, then you can decide to invest the extra money and learn even more about your phenomenon.
No, it absolutely makes sense. A fluorescent bulb light would act exactly as you suggest. An AM radio would certainly indicate any interference going on in the area, so that would work. And what was the other?
A compass.
A compass, that's right. Of course, a compass. And that might even tell you the direction from which it's coming. How frequently have you been able to correlate these items acting in the manner you suggested with some sort of paranormal activity going on?
Well, over about the past 15 years, and I'm simply pulling this out of my head, I would say I've seen a clear correlation, according to my data, at least, probably 50 times, maybe something like that. Which is fairly significant. I've been to between 500 and 1,000 supposedly haunted places over the years, but this activity is extremely rare. I mean, for example, after having been to so many places, and by the way, I don't just study ghostly phenomena. I look at, and my team, Lemur, looks at cases that are paranormal across the entire spectrum, because if you yourself define what you are looking for, then a lot of times you limit what people will report to you. But nonetheless, after having investigated so many places, only once have I actually seen an apparitional form with my naked eyes. And I must tell you honestly, despite having all the data there, if I had not seen one of these forms with my naked eyes, I still would have a lot more doubt about the reality of these phenomena, because it's just something that you have to experience for yourself. It's like all of these UFO videos. You can see the videos every day, you can see the pictures, but if you see something personally, it doesn't really set home with you.